So, just before recording, we were like, oh, what are you drinking? And I'm drinking an orange creamsicle energy drink because Haley, who I'm staying with, doesn't drink coffee. And we're in the middle of nowhere, so there's no place near us. However, they do have 100 million of these orange creamsicle energy drinks that I pound one, I turn into static, and then I just kind of live throughout the day. It's good.
Yeah, no, that sounds great and lovely. And
yeah, it's good and lovely.
I'm not upset by that description at all.
They taste fine. I don't, like, inhale them. I just kind of sip them slowly because on account of the taste.
Okay, because you did say you pound one, which typically...
Oh, I pound one as in I drink it slowly over the course of, like, 30 minutes because the taste isn't delicious.
When I'm pounding her, meaning I'm... delicately making love to her.
Hey, who's up pounding their shit? By pounding, I mean softly caressing.
Yeah.
Making sure they know that they're loved.
All right, we're redefining the word pound, and that's fine. I'm
pounding,
on board.
Which is good, because this, like a lot, unlike most of our episodes, which is... Dorkspawn nights, which is our normal. This is Dorkspawn mornings.
Morning edition.
Which we've had two or three of.
Yeah, we've had a handful.
Yeah, because normally we do Dorkspawn and we have a bev, but in Dorkspawn mornings, we are slightly sleepy and have an energy drink on account of how we're cool night owls, cool night party people. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I went to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning very wisely.
Hell yeah.
Very wisely. And I feel good about it.
I went to bed at a solid midnight. I've been trying to get up at... been pretty good. The first night I got here, we went to bed at 9:30 p.m., which made me feel like I wanted to die. It was too early for me.
That's too
early. Hate that. Hate it. But we were trying to wake up at 7 a.m. And we're not doing that unless we go to bed at stupid early. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I know, but the thing is that 9:30 to 10 here in Central Time is actually an hour later. So I'm not keeping the same sleep schedule because normally I go to bed at like 2 a.m., 1 to 2 a.m.
Yeah,
but I'm going to bed like only a little earlier, and then I'm going to get back to Toronto and be such a good boy.
Yeah, you're going to be so good.
And be so good and kind.
You're going to be going to bed at 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Exactly,
easy.
The normal time that everyone does. And there is nothing, there is no giant $100 board game waiting for me at home that I'm going to be like,
that you'll play for 3-4 hours at a time.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
That I'm going to get home and be like, I would actually rather play this than sleep. I'd rather play this with their scary little creatures, for those who aren't aware, which is every single person listening, because this is a thing that I've only shared with Dylan. Dylan's favorite board game ever, and a board game that I like a lot, is a board game called Kingdom Death Monster, which...
best game.
I feel like we've talked about before.
I think it's come up.
Yeah.
I think it's come up on the show.
It is, think about Monster Hunter, for those of you who know Monster Hunter, where you hunt creatures, you kill the creatures, and then you wear them as armor and have them as weapons, and then you kill a slightly bigger creature. Think about that, but you're trapped in hell, everything sucks, and you die by getting eaten by a lion with human hands, much like I did when Dylan and I played. It's a very, very intense game, and it is very expensive. And I just got a credit card.
Super expensive. Yeah. Super weird. Oh,
so
it's so
weird.
I love how weird it is.
Yeah, there was a random encounter where I had to carve my own face off, and my character immediately died before we even got to the fight. I got cancer by cancer pigeons that infected me with cancer. I slowly died. When Dylan and I played, as we said, I got mauled to death by a lion with human hands, and that was fun.
Yep.
Yeah, it was good.
Perfect game. Oh my God.
It's a perfect game. It's really weird. But I just got a credit card, and I was like, well, Do you know what's a really fun, memorable first credit card purchase ever?
Hell yeah. And you'll always know.
And I'll always know. I'll spend the next 15 years paying it off. That's why I always know.
Oh, bless him.
For those who haven't seen it, go on the website, just type in Kingdom Death Monster. Look at the absolutely hideous. Calling them miniatures is weird because they're definitely not miniatures. They're full.
Huge, yeah.
They're massive. But they also have the best Slenderman design because they had a Slenderman expansion. They have the best Slenderman design I've ever seen.
I love that Slenderman.
It's absolutely crazy. It's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah. So I've got that waiting for me when I get back home. And Dylan and I have already softly planned a light holiday in... in December.
A light holiday where we work 24/7 at building our civilization settlement.
Our civilization of freaks. Of freaks and crazy people. Come visit me to Bobo. So then we're going to have the fun thing of we've recorded in Dylan's space a bunch. We're going to record in MySpace, baby.
Oh, we've never done that.
We've never recorded in MySpace. No. And I don't know how that would work, but it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good and nice, and we're gonna be kind.
We're gonna be so kind.
We're gonna be so kind in it. It's gonna be really nice. Anyway, Dylan, what are we doing here?
Hi, my name is Dylan. I've played 2 Mass Effect games.
Hello, my name is Robin. I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 million times. This is Dorkspawn, a show where we play through story games like a book club. And this game that we're playing at the minute is Mass Effect 3. And this week, we did Mass Effect 3, the Citadel DLC, / Mass Effect 3, Shore Leave.
Shore Leave, baby!
Known by me as the best Mass Effect has been and will be. This shit's so fucking peak, it made me go insane.
Unfucking believable how good this was.
I can't believe it.
Great.
I'm actually going to open today by saying something insanely controversial.
Please.
It's just a thing that it's just an opinion that I hold. Mass Effect, the franchise, is at its best when it is railroaded and exclusively in DLC form. Shadow Broker DLC.
Shadow Broker. Incredible.
Shore Leave. The two best the two best written Mass Effect things at all. Everyone is so quippy and quick-witted. Shepard is so characterized in this. It's so great to see Shepard characterized. Every character has really strong back and forth. There is a lot of bits where I'm like, man, I fucking love this team so much. And it is not in the main game. It's exclusively in these two DLCs. Shepard and Liara in the Shadow Broker is just an unkillable team. Buddy Cop DLC,
incredible.
So fun. Citadel, watching the light spoilers for this for like the second part of the first half, which I know is a weird sentence, when the entire crew is split into 3 different teams and running through this one facility and talking to each other at the same time, shit, so fun. Oh my god,
hot.
It's so fun.
It was so hot.
It's the best in the world. And this DLC is stupid long. We are late.
Oh my god, way longer than I anticipated it being.
Yeah, we're late on this episode because I got pretty ill. You're going to hear me coughing and sniffling. I got pretty ill this week. But also, I was like, yeah, it's going to be what, like 2 to 3 hours? When I know what day we're recording, I'm going to play it that day. Turns out you can't do that. This DLC is 6 to 7 hours long. One of the nights this week, there is an optional arena in this DLC that I spent about 3 to 4 hours doing, just doing that, because it was so stupid fun. Yeah. There's a whole, I don't know if you, did you do it?
That's the only part I didn't do.
There's a whole storyline in it. There's storylines, there's characters, there's like, it's a bunch of optional challenges. I will talk about it more when we get to that point, but it's so fun. I'm just going to talk about it now. I don't know why I'm blue balls on you. There are several challenges, and you like put, you can put like debuffs on your squad and character and to make rack up more points. And also you're getting emails from fans being like, I would really wish I really hope that you could do this. I'm trying to prove this thing to my friend because you do this. And then you're like, it's like, for example, one of them is you get emailed, a Hannah emails you and says that they think you're cheating by healing too much, or like the human's ability to heal is too powerful. So he requests that you go in by turning off all med packs. So you turn off all med packs, you go through, you do it, and then he emails you after when you're successful. And he's like, my apologies, I didn't realize that you could do that. Turns out humans are stronger than I thought. But one of them was someone wanted me to beat the Reapers on the hardest difficulty to like inspire people. And another person had a bet with his friend because his friend thinks that heat sinks are like a waste of heat sink ammo is like a waste of things and is completely pointless. And then he was like, I bet Shepard could kill things without needing like heat sink ammo and stuff like that. So he's like, could you turn off all ammo so you only have the ammo that you start the round with, and you can't pick up any extra ammo throughout the fight? So I had the Reapers on the hardest difficulty. I had one like cartridge of ammo in my shotgun, which I have like 14 shots with, because it is the whole point of the shotgun that I use is that it does insane amounts of damage, but has essentially no ammo. I need to keep picking stuff up. But I did that fight with both Rex and Grunt, and it was the sickest shit ever. The shotgun boys, and we ran out of ammo against it was like five brutes at the same time, those giant armor Reapers. And because I ran out of ammo, I was just doing my biotic charge into them over and over again. I was just shoulder barging these guys as Rex and Grunt were helping each other up and then doing like shotgunning them in the face. It was the coolest shit ever.
Oh my God.
It was fucking awesome. The arena is so fun in this, purely because you can unlock essentially all alive squad mates that exist throughout all of the games. It was me, Rex, and Grunt. It was the Krogan squad beating ass, and it fucks crazy. I love this DLC so much. God. Anyway.
Incredible.
Surely DLC. Yes.
So the whole thing kicks off when you are going to the Citadel. You have the option that we've had for a while to go to your personal apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Once you go there, that's where this whole thing triggers. First, Anderson is like, I want you to have this apartment because he wants to stay on Earth doing Earth work.
Yes. And him and his wife or someone that...
Girlfriend.
They were going to settle down here, but he was like, no, I've been on Earth for too long. It's actually too important for me to be here. The longer I'm here, the less I want to leave, is what he says.
Yeah. So he's like, I want you to have this apartment. It's a huge fucking apartment. It's crazy.
There's a waterfall. It is a three-story
house. Fireplace.
It's
there's
insane.
A full bar.
Yeah.
It's huge. So he gives you the apartment. You have the ability to walk around and like hear more about Anderson's life, which is cool. There are all these like audio logs and journal entries and stuff that you can listen to. And then when you're done, you have a message on your personal machine from Joker being like, let's get some sushi. So you go and leave. It takes you right to the sushi restaurant. You meet Joker. People are like trying to get in to see you because you're there and it's a big deal because you're Shepard. and in the middle of dinner,
Joker is like, thank you so much for inviting me here. I've always wanted to come here.
Right.
And you're like, you invited me here. And he's like, no, I didn't. And you're like, interesting. something is immediately wrong, and then gunshot happens, you turn, and there is a bunch of very well-armed men walking through the yeah. restaurant.
There's also a young woman who works for you, we have not met up until now, who gets shot in the crossfire and starts
very
freaking
out. Very cute lady called Brooks. I like her a lot.
Very cute. So then you need to not just kind of like defeat these guys, but you also have a goal to get Brooks out of harm's way so that she can heal. Once you do that, then it's sort of like brainstorming time. You have Joker get the whole team.
Well, before that, really. So this firefight breaks out. They're asking for you. They're asking everyone right. for you.
Right.
Joker does go get the team. But you like grab one of the armed goons and pull them behind a table, defeat them in like a cutscene, and then Shepard grabs their gun and is like, yeah, Joker, go. I forgot that this was the pair of you were planning, and then you send Joker to go to go get the team. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you do send Joker out as bait. It's yep. first. And
it's
then
very
so
funny.
That they start. Yeah, yeah, very funny. But then you do actually send him to go get the team and bring them back so that you can figure out what's going on. Back at the apartment, Brooks is healing and everybody.
Before the apartment, though, you have this silenced pistol. You fight a bunch of these guys and then they yeah. shoot at you. You break through the aquarium that's in the sushi
right.
place and you fall
yeah.
like three stories down. And then everyone's like, okay, cool. So Shepard's dead then. You can hear them on the comms. And then you're kind of sneaking through. And because you have a silenced pistol, you can like, if you kill a guard quick enough, they won't alert anyone
right.
else to your presence.
Yeah.
Are fighting through this like series of buildings. It's really cool. You like have to pass through like the highway and stuff, and you're
yeah.
everyone's talking to each other. Joker keeps being like, "So I was bait? That's crazy." And you're like, "Joker, we'll
yeah.
talk about it later." And then you fight all your way up, and then Liara turns up because you fight your way into a car sales place. And then there is a Volus car salesman who is cowering behind glass. You go to like kick the door open and be really aggressive with it, and Liara's like, hang on, and then knocks on the door, is like, hey, can you like open the door please, because we kind of need to get out. And he's like, okay, are you going to leave? And Shepard's like, yeah, but my way would have also worked. And it's like, oh, this is fun. They're talking buddy cop duo again. This is great. I
yeah.
love it when Shepard has a real voice. And then Edie turns up later.
Yep.
And then whilst you're waiting for Joker, who has now hijacked a cab to come pick you up, whilst you're waiting, another, not cab, but like a shuttle appears with a bunch of these like mercenaries. And then another shuttle turns up, and then a bunch of people get beaten up and thrown out of the car. Who is it that's been beating everyone up and throwing them out of the car, and who's here to save the day? It's
yes.
our boy Rex. It's our boy
Rex,
Rex is back. It's fucking crazy. I wrote
yeah.
all caps, Rex, oh my God, because I did not know he was going to be here. This is
yeah.
very fucking exciting. He's like, I'm here for something completely different, but I heard a bunch of gunshots and I was like, I bet Shepard's on the Citadel. Look at where you are. And it's like, yeah, it's me.
And look at you.
And then you all fight and you fight and defeat all of these guys together. The three of you, Liara, Edie, Rex, and yourself. And then you hop on the shuttle that Joker has brought. And then you all fly away back to the apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then at the apartment, Liara is trying to like figure out where these messages came from, to try to figure out like if we could determine who we're looking for or where to go next.
Uh-huh.
And while that's happening, you're like hanging out in your apartment and everybody is there. just deeply cool stuff.
It's deeply cool. Yeah, Joker's like, oh yeah, I brought the rest of the team. And then everyone walks in and I'm like, oh, this might be my Avengers. Straight up, this might be my Avengers. I'm so fucking stoked for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. You find a person called Elijah, who is a casino owner, who is the last person who had a conversation with this person who, it turns out, someone is trying to steal your identity. They have found a bunch of records of yours. They're like in your email, which is how they're able to send emails to people.
Right, they have access to my,
So someone is trying to steal our identity and we don't know why. However, we do know from the pistol that we got and also just some general information of the people that attacked that this one casino owner sold them all of the arms or like is like bankrolling them in some way. So we go from cool, fun firefight throughout the Citadel, fun hijinks, everyone talking, immediately to a casino heist. This is the best story of all time. I think it's the best DLC
casino
I've ever seen.
Great.
It's crazy.
For this, Shepard basically is like trying to not be a distraction, trying to like be seen at this party so that no one can accuse Shepard of having done anything she wasn't supposed to. So you are like mingling and dancing and like just meeting people, gambling, stuff like that. And then in between that, you have like really limited amounts of time to futz with the cameras to clear a path for you and your squad.
So there's this really fun moment at the apartment when you're planning this heist where you're like, okay, who is going to be the person who's going to be doing the majority of the break-ins? And Edie is like, well, I'm a sentient AI. I'm going to get caught on every security cam. You're like, yeah, that's true. Garrus is like, everyone knows me because we've been together this whole time. You're like, yeah, that's true. Rex is like, well, I'm a Krogan. Everyone's going to be looking at a Krogan and be like, I bet they're up to something. You're like, yeah, that's true. And you go through every member of the squad and everyone's like, well, I'm going to be noticed if we do this. And then you find your way all the way to Brooks. Who's like, Brooks is like, I did one hacking course at Alliance University. I don't think I'm going to be able to hack. And then Shepard's like, that's fine. We'll teach you. You're in. You're part of the squad now. So you have to do it because no one knows who you are. And everyone, the entire galaxy knows this team. But then you do get to pick one other person as your date to your quote unquote date. Because everyone's going to get dressed up because it's a beautiful casino opening. You picked Garrus.
I picked Garrus. Garrus told me that my dress had his mandible on the floor.
Oh, damn.
Uh-huh.
I also picked Garrus because he's my best friend. Garrus turns up in like a in a suit, in a Turian suit, and then you're in this dress. It's sick as hell. You're like, it opens with you entering the casino by you walking down a red carpet and getting photographed with everyone. You have your, like, you and Garrus's arms are both linked. This shit's cool as hell.
It's hot. This crew makes me feel sick.
But yeah, and then you get in, you're talking to Brooks as Brooks is doing all this, like, hacking stuff. And then, as Dylan said, you're, like, distracting guards. You're hacking security cameras, gambling, mingling. It's really fun mingling and talking to people. I think it's really fun. This DLC does also my favorite thing that most of my favorite video games do. This is mini game central, baby.
Oh yeah,
this DLC has a thousand mini games, and I love it. I was getting notices from Brooks being like, hey, please, can you actually help me out here? Because I'm stuck for a while because I was like, I'm gambling. I'm on a winning streak.
There are three different gambling mini games in this area.
It's cool.
It's awesome.
There's Varan Racing. There is one which is essentially like a bit of a more technical 21. And there's like roulette. It's awesome. It's great. It's so fun. But you do all this hacking. You do all this hacking and this figuring out, and you do this casino heist. You get to Elijah's room. As the three of you all enter, turns out, oopsie daisy, he's already dead. He's been shot.
He's already dead.
Shit. Then you get a message from the person who is trying to steal all your identity, being like, lol, idiot loser, I was here first. And you're like, oh, damn, who is this mastermind? But you get them talking long enough that you can get some form of track on them.
Right, yes.
You go back to the apartment. You're like, so it was a bust. Great evening, but it was a bust. What do we do now? Then Edie's like, I got him. I got him on... they are in these archives that people aren't really allowed. Inspectors can go in, but that's kind of it. It's just archives of history in the Citadel. I found a signature of the person who hit you up. They're in here. And you're like, okay, sick. Oh, I also think this is the bit, a really good bit, actually. One sec, let me see if it is here. I believe it is. You're, just as you're like all talking shop and it's all very important, the things you're talking about, you turn around and there's just a Volus in the room. And you're like, oh my God, there's a Volus.
Yeah. Delivery guy.
And you're like, what are you doing? What are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I'm here to deliver a pizza. And Vega's like, oh, I thought we'd be getting hungry, so I ordered pizza for everyone. And you're like, oh. And then everyone's kind of talking, still talking really intensely. And he's like, I need to be paid. I can't leave until I get paid. And you're like, yeah, buddy. Sure. It's very good. And this whole DLC is just full of bits like that.
So many bits.
Okay. I was gonna say this at the end of our little rundown. But I need to say it now. Do you know why this DLC is so peak? Do you know why? This is Dragon Age.
I was also going to bring up that this is very specifically very Trespasser.
Mm. Sure. There is a lot in this of really quirky little cutscenes with characters.
And time with the characters, which has always been my like complaint about Mass Effect, is that they give me these amazing characters that I fall in love with. And I've always felt like they just don't really give me a lot of time with them. Mm-hmm. Definitely Mass Effect 3 has been the strongest overall with that.
Yeah.
But like this.
But they only give you hints of how good these characters are. You can't really, you know how cool and good they are at fighting and their job and you know, their backstory is like, wow, this is heavy. You're so interesting and cool. But you don't know who they are as a person. And this is the thing that this DLC goes absolutely sicko mode with. It's like by the end of this, which, spoilers, you finish this storyline, and then there is an additional 4 hours of content after this where you just hang out with everyone and is fucking, it's so good. And that is, it shows, I have such a deep appreciation for so many more characters now because we're just able to hang out with them for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. Those little bits. It's so good. And there's ones I specifically want to shout out when we get to it. But so now, the next part is that we have to go looking for this person. We find like coordinates, right? Is that?
Yeah. So we find these coordinates for them breaking into the archives. So we're going to jump them. As we're leaving, Brooks is like, oh, so it's a shame not all of us can go and you can only bring two squad mates. And then Shepard turns and does the coolest thing ever. And is said, who said that? And then it is, you bring every single squad mate with you. All 9 squad mates go with you at the same time. You just pick 2 on your attack team. Oh my God. Peak. So fucking sick.
And you know what I got to do? My old buddy's back. Garrison Rex.
Oh.
Because Rex is included during this bit.
Yeah.
So I've got my original Mass Effect 1 squad.
God, that's sick. That's
my
so
team.
Cool.
And during this next bit where we're tracking this person, I forget exactly where in the next sequence it happens, but at some point we have to go follow this person up into an elevator, and we get into the elevator and Garrus goes, so anybody feel like info dump, like dropping some lore about their backstory? And Rex goes, no. And Garrus goes, I kind of miss when we used to talk in the elevator. And Rex goes, not me, just you, buddy. Very good.
In this whole little section, the dialogue between squad mates is amazing. It's so
great.
Outstanding. There are so many bits where, so there's one bit in particular that I love so much, that I was talking to Haley about it after it happened. So the bit of this is that you're fighting through these archives. A cool reveal happens a little before this, but I'll skip back a bit. I just want to tell this little story.
Okay.
You're fighting through these archives. It's three of you, and then what would happen is three people would appear on a different floor to you, because it's nine, so it's three teams of three. So it would always be you and another squad. But then as that squad appears and is fighting up or fighting down, and you're clearing out this room, you'll be bantering with each other. One of these bits was, we were fighting, Garrus was on the level above me. And yelled something like, oh, I feel like I should stop shooting. I feel like I should be missing half of my shots. This isn't even a challenge. Then Liara makes a quip related to not attacking anymore. And then Rex also ended up making one about not attacking. And then Shepard is like, can you all stop bantering and start killing things? I'm getting very tired. I'm just like, oh, it's just
yes,
so good.
Everyone's
just yelling at each other and everyone's quipping. The thing that they don't really allow Shepard to do in the main game that is held, it's the reason why I brought up Shadowbroker, is letting Shepard be the straight man of a group of like quirkier characters, or just having Shepard make quick-witted quips,
right?
Rather
having
than
a personality,
like,
yeah.
Rather than like main plot story or like combat, like assault conversation. It's so much fun letting Shepard just be, just make jokes and make quips in the middle with everyone else. It's so fun. I love it so deeply. Also, the two teams. There are three teams. Your team is just Team Shepard, but then you have Team Mako and Team Hammerhead, which I think is very cute.
Oh, yes, that was really cute too.
I think that's really fun. Anyway, you bring it to the archives. You have a minor fight, and then this is a fight which is cool because it's all nine squad mates at the same time. You're like fighting with everyone, and they're just constantly dropping enemies on you. You beat a bunch of them, but then you just get overwhelmed.
You get locked in like a little field.
That
keeps you all locked on a tram and you can't go any further. And that is when we meet Shepard.
Yeah.
Cloned
Shepard. The villain of this arc, the person who's stealing our identity, is you. It's revealed that when Cerberus resurrected you, Cerberus also made one of you to be essentially an organ donor if things in you don't work.
Spare parts.
They have all of your memories, but none of your, like, combat experience or, like, emotions. Oh, no, they have combat experience, but no, like, caring for people, really, I think.
Yeah.
Or they don't have memory. I can't remember. It's one of them.
They don't have your memories.
They don't have your memories.
They are you, but they did not go through what you went through, and they have developed a particular philosophy about you, where they feel that you have developed a cult around yourself, the cult of Shepard. They feel that, one, you are just far too like engaged with other species instead of focusing on helping humans.
Yes.
And that people just are obsessed with you, and that is vile. And she doesn't understand it, and she's pissed about it, and now she's going to take over your life, and she's going to do it better than you. And so she's like, I've trapped the rest of your squad are already trapped in containers waiting to die, and you're next. Bye. And the tram that you're on kind of like zips off and locks you. She doesn't say bye. Sorry. She says, I have to go.
This is a little later.
This
does happen, and there is a really fun dialogue that happens with that.
That's
which
why
I was
like,
so
I have to
much.
Correct myself because specifically.
Yeah. I have to go, and then you with the two squad mates that you were talking to are like locked in this tram. Or in this, like, it's not even a tram, really. It's like it's an archive thing.
It's an archive, so it just like seals you up in a metal container. Yeah.
And there's a whole conversation where you're like, I don't sound like that, do I? I sound cooler than that. I'm like cooler when I say bye. I had Rex and Liara. Liara, who the entire time is like, can we try to figure out? Oh, no, it was Tally. It was Rex and Tally I had. The whole time Tally's like, can we actually focus on getting out of here? Because, We're trapped in. I don't think there's a lot of oxygen in this room.
That was Garrus for me. Garrus was like, babe, focus.
And then Ewan, because we would have had the same. It's Ewan Rex just fully. Rex is like, no, you do sound like that a lot. And Shepard's like, no, I sound cool. I sound cool when I do it. I say like, and then she says another line that she does say rather than like, I gotta go. And then you two have like this little back and forth as the third party member is freaking out about the lack of oxygen and there's simply no way out. And then Shepard's
very
like,
funny.
And then when the third party member is like, we have to, please, can we focus on this? Shepard's like, oh, yeah, don't worry. And then he's like, Glyph, you're still out there, right? And then this, because it's like slowly panning back. Think of Monsters,
really
Inc.
Nice. I like that shot.
Yeah. Think of Monsters, Inc., the doors, the door scene with the $100 million doors. It's like there is one like locked vault, essentially, and then as it slowly pans out to show like hundreds of thousands of vaults in these archives. And then when you're like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. I got it. Glyph, you're still out there, right? Liara's Glyph, the little like drone that she has, this like blue orb like flies in. He's like, yes, Commander, I am here. And then unlocks the code.
And just gets you all out.
These archives, though, are really fun. These archives are really cool. You get a huge amount of... So these archives are not viewable by anyone, except for, like, council members and Spectres. Garrus actually says that even when he was at CSEC, no one had seen them. Very, very rare. But you can walk through... and see moments like, throughout time. So you can see a Turian interrogation of a human in the First Contact War, which is really cool. You can see the time that AI was outlawed on the Citadel. There was an AI uprising that happened that's an interesting... viewpoint. You can see Turians activate the Genophage. There is a Salarian and three Turians. They're at the big tower. The Salarian is like, we shouldn't do this, right? This is bad. And the Turian commander is like, you gave us this. We're just future proofing it. If you didn't want this to be done, you shouldn't have made it. And then the Turian and then another Turian is like, I actually don't feel good about this. And then that commander sends the Turian and the Salarian to execution as he activates the Genophage. It's really cool. There's lots of
really good stuff.
Really interesting stuff like that. Yeah. You also find a whole profile on you.
Oh, yeah.
Which is cool. And then, again, you're finding through all these things. You get to the vault. You find out, because Brooks gets left behind. Or shot and left behind, I think.
Yeah.
You find out, oh no, Brooks actually isn't Brooks. Brooks is an ex-Cerberus member who made all of the dossiers for you in Mass Effect 2. And because she is exceedingly human first, she doesn't think that we should be working with aliens at all. When she makes all these dossiers, she's
which
so sick.
This is super interesting because we have this big confrontation with her about that, her and Clone Shep. But what's interesting is that there is a way to play Mass Effect where Shepard is not particularly pro-alien.
Yeah, like, you can play where Shep is very human first.
Yeah. So I am just curious how that interaction goes if you've played a, like, bigoted Shepard.
This is actually one of the... This DLC is the most to me like, oh, I'd play this whole thing again. Because the amount of stuff that you can do that is different is significant. Like, you can bring someone else to the casino, which I think is fun. You can have a Shepard that is very human first. And I imagine it's pretty much the same way, just based on everything else. But there is a lot of very minor things in this that is cool and interesting. That I think will change. It feels like it would change things significantly. You can have this where Garrus dies, Rex is dead. You can have so many squad. You can even be a non-human first people, but everyone has died. And I want to see what that's like. Is the party at the end bad because everyone's dead?
Right.
So there's not a lot of people going to it. Anyway, you could have it. Grunt is dead as well because Grunt turns up.
After this.
In a little bit. It's cool. Anyway, so what happens is Shepard, Clone Shepard, using your voice, using all of your command codes, because she's essentially almost stolen your entire identity at this point, activates the Normandy and is going to fly away.
And changes your fingerprints in the Spectre system to be hers.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You then... you get out by the help of Glyph, and then you... Joker flies down and is like, I can only fit you and two others. I'm going to drop you off at the Normandy.
Oh, this is a cute
I'm
going to
fly back and pick up everyone else. And the mission is now to retake the Normandy. How cool, how fun. Yeah.
So I pick Garrus and Rex again because I know that Rex is limited to, so I just need, I need to get my buddies in. Say who you picked.
Oh, I picked Edie and Liara. Just because I just love Edie so much and she's always so relevant.
She's great.
Yeah.
Well, I do that, and Edie goes, oh, I sort of thought I would go with you. Oh. And then Caden Alenko says, yeah, I never get picked.
Oh, my God, James Vega said that to me. James Vega's like, yeah, I never get picked.
Yeah.
I was like, you don't. That's so fun.
You don't. And Caden doesn't. I have not taken Caden anywhere with me on the entire
I want to know if that's just a writing thing where they got one of the two of them to say it, or if it's the person who you don't take ever. Like, the person who's gone on the least amount of missions says, man, I never get picked. Because I think that would be so fun.
Or if they just polled the audience for the least...
For the least liked characters.
The two least liked squad mates.
You fly. You get dropped off outside of the Normandy. You fight your way through to the Normandy. The Normandy is trying to leave. Just about to leave. You fight your way through. All of the mercenaries are like, how is she still alive? It's very funny.
She says, she tells the mercenaries when you get onto the, because you get onto the ship at the last minute, right as it's taking off. And she's like, she gives instructions to her guards to slow you down as much as we can. And then you hear them being like, what did she mean by slow her down? Are we like not supposed to kill her? And they're like, she thinks we're cannon fodder. And then you open a door and you kill
and
every
you just
single
execute
one
everyone.
Of them.
But a really cute thing is when you get to the Normandy, oh no, the airlock has been closed.
This is cute.
The airlock has been closed. Samantha Traynor is outside.
This is so
cute. She's just been kicked off, and she was like, the only thing I was able to grab is my toothbrush. The toothbrush that
she's
when
like, you
we
just
meet
fired
her,
me.
She says that it's a big deal that she gets this toothbrush because it has these tiny micro mass effect fields that break up plaque better than anything else. And she's really like, she's really passionate about it. And you can like make fun of her at the time. It's one of the first things we learn about her.
I remember.
But there's an escape hatch. The escape hatch can only be opened by the other side. And you're like, okay, well, I'm just going to bust it open. They're like, that'll be way too loud. Okay, how are we going to figure it out? And for me, Edie's like, well, I mean, if we had something that it's impossible to open. The only way we can do it is if we have something that releases tiny mass effect fields. And then behind you, Samantha Traynor like picks up her toothbrush.
Turns on her toothbrush. Very cute.
And then it cuts to you crawling through the vents like, I owe her a new toothbrush. That was pretty pretty handy. It's so fucking cute. Samantha Traynor in this? Peak.
Cute.
I love Samantha Traynor in this. She's so good.
Samantha Traynor, pervert. big pervert. And I'm really excited about it.
But then you're crawling through the vents. And then the people are like, what do you mean, fodder? You bust out, you shoot
wholesale
everyone.
Wholesale slaughter.
You then go down to the armory where you find both the clone and Brooks. A fight inevitably ensues. You're all beating the hell out of each other. And then after the first wave, the ship's docking port for the shuttles opens because another really good pairing that we haven't seen in this game so far, Joker and Cortez, who Cortez being the shuttle pilot, Joker being the Normandy's pilot, they are arguing about best piloting techniques whilst flying a taxi through the streets of the Citadel just in front of the Normandy, so the Normandy can't jump into the Mass Effect relay because that's just not how the Mass Effect relays work.
They can't plot a course. Yeah.
So, the Normandy is trying to shoot this taxi that these two pilots are piloting and arguing with each other. Going back. Sorry, there's so many good bits in this DLC. Going back, I brought Edie along with me on in the cab ride toward... you're all talking normal. And then you're like, so Edie, I thought you were the Normandy. She's like, oh, I am. But, and then her visor turns off. And then her eye, she like has a moment where she goes like on the fritz and her eyes like ping in two different directions. And she like goes down. And then Joker's like, Edie, are you good? She sits up. Her eyes are both fucky in other directions. Her visor doesn't turn back on. She's like, it seems that she has disabled me from the Normandy. I should be fine though, and then like hits herself on the head, and then her eyes like realign back normal, but her visor is still turned off, and she's like, I am no longer attached to the Normandy. I'm going to kill this woman so hard, and then she just got the whole
all of the DLC.
She's like, I'm going to kill her. I've never felt rage before, but I'm going to make sure that this woman dies. It's very fun. So they, because they can't jump into Mass Effect and they're flying through the Citadel, the Normandy is also blowing up skyscrapers, trying to hit the shuttle, the taxi that Cortez and Joker are flying. And they're like, you know what? We can't hit it. Send out another shuttle. They open up the docking port of the Normandy and then they send out another shuttle to go kill them. But then the second part of the fight takes place like in the armory, but you're flying thousands of miles an hour and the whole back of the Normandy is open and there's papers fluttering and it's very intense.
It's so dramatic. It's so cool. Dramatic. And this fight, because this is like final confrontation with your clone, she has a like really tough recharging armor. So she's tough. You do have your whole squad in there and there's everybody. I went point blank and I just chased her and shot her directly in the face from from 4 inches away.
Yeah.
The entire fight.
What's fun though is she is your class. She copies yes. exactly what you're able to do. So that means that me being someone who is in front of their face all the time, we both like biotic charged, slammed into each other and was like trying to blast each other in the face with shotguns as we were both like doing the aggressive moves that we normally do. Really cool. Very cinematic and fun. You beat her. Cutscene happens. You like roll. Go on.
Yeah, you two fall towards the opening of the Normandy and are both like hanging off the ledge. And she just says, "Why you?" And all of your squad mates come running to pull you back on.
Yeah.
And Brooks, we see her in the full like Imhotep scene from from fuck the Mummy 2 or the Mummy 3, whichever one it is, where we see her look at Clone Shep dangling and she just walks away.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitcherton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitcherton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
This episode is brought to you by Hero Forge. There is no better gift for a gamer than a custom miniature of their beloved TTRPG character. So this holiday season, take the guesswork out of gift giving and treat your players to a digital gift card to Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. You can make minis in a variety of materials, including premium unpainted plastic and color standees, and they even offer downloadable model files so you can 3D print your unique designs at home. And for the dice lovers in your party, never fear, Hero Forge has you covered with their custom dice, which lets you put your hero inside the very D20 that will help lead you to glory. Visit HeroForge.com to send your players a digital gift card and let them build the heroes of their dreams.
And then you get the chance to save the clone because the clone is heartbroken and looks really sad. Throughout this whole thing, you've kind of gotten this. It's not technically her fault that she's like this. She was bred to be an organ donor. Like, that's
right.
A hard
this
life.
This sucks.
That sucks and is tough. And you do have the chance to save her. Siobhan obviously didn't. Siobhan was like, Siobhan stamped on her hands and was like, there's only one shepherd. And then she fell to her death.
Hot. I reached for her hands and she says, what's the point? And let's go.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear. That's upsetting.
And I went, okay. Ooh. And then we have Brooke arrested. Brooke is trying to be cocky while she's arrested.
Yeah, and, like, and is like, you won't fucking kill me. You need me. Yeah.
I was like, will you calm down? Like, just go to jail. Shut up. Like,
you yeah. then can choose if you're going to kill Brooke or you're going to keep her alive. I did kill her.
I put her in jail.
There's a moment when you choose to kill her where she's again being all cocky. And then she like gets out of the handcuffs and then she starts running. She's like, you're going to miss me. And then Shepard pulls out a gun and she's like, not at this distance. And then shoots her in the head.
That's
fucking
hot.
Funny. It's so
That's
good.
Really funny. Yeah. That's really good.
Just the not at this distance is very good. Shoots and kills her. There is also one bit I might pull for the quote of today for the end of the for the end of the episode, which is when just before your clone locks you in the vault, Shepard. You can also there's a lot of fun renegade reacts when Shepard starts going off.
Yes, I meant to bring that up. I didn't choose any of them, but did you?
Oh yeah, Shepard is just describing how she's gonna kill them and gets really violent. And is like, I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to then mount it on the walls of the Normandy so everyone knows not to come near. And then if you do the second, because there's another one afterwards, if you do the second one, she's like, and then I'm going to cut your head off and I'm going to put it right next to hers so everyone knows that I'm doubly serious. And then the third, and then she's like, and then I'm going to turn your two rotting faces toward each other so both of your souls know to never mess with me again. It's very funny. She goes
That's really
funny hardcore.
Because I did the Paragon reacts, and they are like, Shepard has two of those and says, like, it's something like, I forget exactly what it is, but it's something like, you're gonna regret this. Like, there's still time for you to change your mind. So it's still threatening, but it's just like
it's more sinister.
Threaten.
Yeah. There is one quote from Shepard that I liked so much that I have written down, which is if you do a renegade, just like a conversation choice when talking to your clone about killing your clone, Shepard says, I never thought I'd say this, but I'm really looking forward to killing myself. And I think that's so fucking funny.
That's so funny.
I think it's great. And I do have it as maybe the quote for today when we close up this episode.
Yeah. You know what? There are renegade reacts that I got later at a different point that I forget where. I think it'll come back to me. But I didn't have renegade reacts for that. I only had the Paragon ones. And I'm wondering if you are full renegade.
Because I'm more renegade now that I can do this. Yeah, maybe so. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Hey, gang. This DLC is so fucking good.
DLC.
It's fucking good. And then we've done the story of the DLC. And you're like, cool, we're done, right? No, gamer, there's hours of content left.
There's hours left.
Because then you have a full party. You go back and you're like, wow, we should actually do shore leave now, where we should take some time to ourselves. You speak to Joker. And Joker's like, I think it might be fun. This is a big apartment. We should have a party. We should invite everyone and we should get some drinks. And you're like, yeah, that's a good idea, actually. Then Glyph is like, I have acquired some funds and I have given them to you to go buy some party supplies. And then if you check your personal... It's $100, which is crazy. Glyph. It's like, yeah, yeah. I don't know why you're giving me this. You know how much money I have, Glyph. You are the Shadow Broker's personal assistant. Yeah. You know I have
I bought a $40,000 fish yesterday. Like,
I don't know where you get
like
off thinking that you can buy me.
Is covering booze for the toughest warriors in galaxy? Please.
Ridiculous. Then if you check your personal computer, pretty much every single squad mate is like, hey, do you want to hang out? And you're like, yeah, that sounds sick. You can go down. You go downstairs. You can buy party supplies. You can upgrade your house in different ways. There is a whole arena mode, which has arena, cool arena stuff. There is the casino that you can go back to. There is also a full arcade with more mini games where you can go and you can play like a crane game that gets you upgrades and things for your house. There is a like a beat 'em up, just like boxing game that you can play. There is also like a space defense game. There's a lot of really cool shit.
There's a lot of stuff.
It's fucking awesome.
The messages that you get, some people are asking to come over and like chat with you. And then some people want to meet you out on the Citadel in these casinos or whatever.
Yeah.
My favorite one is that you get one from a CSEC officer who's like, hey, we need your assistance with a Krogan named Grunt, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And you go down there and Grunt, while recovering in the hospital on the Citadel from what was Grunt recovering from? The Rachni fight.
Yeah, the Rachni battle, yeah.
Yeah, so Grunt is still recovering from the Rachni fight in the hospital, got bored and had his friends break him out.
And then they just got fucking blasted.
They just got crazy drunk and then thought that they could scale him down the wall. And then there's a cutscene of him just falling and breaking into the glass. And then climbing the
Krogan statue when he's like, and then we wanted to pay love to our ancestors. So we climbed the Krogan statue. And then he's like, And then one of the CSEC officers is like, and then you stole a police vehicle. And it's like, well, I mean, I didn't think anyone was using it. And then it's him driving a CSEC vehicle through the streets of the Citadel and then throwing a firebomb at it and blowing it up.
And it's just a lot of
random shit that he truly just had the Hangover style series of events with his two best friends who we've never met.
We've never met.
And then you can choose to either make up a lie to get him out of it or be like, you have to apologize. Really does solidify the fact that Shepard is his mom.
Shepard's his mom.
Yeah, that's your son. That's your teenage son. And I said, apologize
to the man, please. And then mommy paid for the new police car.
I made up a lie about it. I was like, yeah, I'm a Spectre. He's on a secret Spectre mission.
That required him to blow up that required car.
And the CSEC officer was like, that required him to steal a police vehicle and set fire to several places. It's like, hey, listen, it's a secret Spectre mission. I actually can't talk about it. And he's like, all right. And he's like, I'm just going to build Spectres. And he's like, yeah, just do that. And then you're like, Grunt, we got to get out of here. It's very funny. It's so good.
Deeply funny. Another shout out is that Trainer comes up to hang out with you and again gets into your bathtub.
After Trainer's other event, which is
because Trainer has
she gets bored waiting for you and then joins a like sci-fi chess competition.
Oh, and she has a little anime cutscene with her arch nemesis.
It's so fucking cute. God, it's so funny. I love Trainer.
So good.
Yeah. she has this little anime cutscene with an arch rival of hers from like college. And the arch rival talks about is like, I see, whilst you were doing all this, I've actually got better at this game, and you're always as weak as possible. And then Shepard's like, she saved the galaxy. I mean, she's helping us save worlds and nations of people.
Yeah.
And you're just here playing video games? That sucks, actually. Trainer wins by doing a fun, again, anime-themed play where it's like, huh, I've taken this. And she's like, yeah, but you left your planet open. And then she flies this fake spaceship into the planet and then wins the tourney. And then she asks to come up to your apartment.
As a rain check.
Hot tub. Yeah.
Yeah. She gets in the hot tub. Again, is like talking to you from the hot tub, like a callback from when she tried to sleep with you in 2.
I know. I was hoping she tried to sleep with me again. I really like Trainer now.
Yeah, but except she finds Anderson's girlfriend's like toiletry bag and finds her vibrator in there.
Yeah, but a girlfriend's not just any woman. It's Kaylee Sanders from 2, who is your assistant in 2, is Kaylee Sanders.
Oh!
Yeah.
Fun.
Like, I'm so sure it is, but it's a thing where she just like mentions it, which is like, oh, this is by a Kay Sanders. And I was like, holy shit. Kaylee Sanders, the woman who unfortunately got shot in the face by Cerberus earlier this game. But yeah, the person who Samantha Trainor took the job from is who Commander
Anderson was
hooking up with. Yeah.
Oh my God, and she did die.
And
wow.
She did die. She got shot in the face.
She got shot point blank in the face. Ugh.
Yeah. Crazy.
But don't worry, your vibrator's gone to a good home.
Oh, by the way, it's not a vibrator. It's several personal massagers that are in that bag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah. Anderson's a freak, huh?
Yeah.
That guy's got a whole shit happening.
Or Anderson needs a lot of help.
Yeah, or Anderson isn't a freak enough.
Yeah.
So I have everyone who I met. So we've done Grunt. We've done Trainor. I met Zaid. That was really cute. He was picking up. He said, so he's trying to play this arcade claw game. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I spent so much money on it. I can't believe how hard this is. There's no way this is for kids. He says that he saw a kid spend a lot of money on it because that kid wanted a certain toy and was disappointed, so left. So he's trying to win it for this kid, which I thought was really cute from this like gruff mercenary type who we know. And I was like, oh, that's cute. And Shepard was like, oh, give me a go. And he's like, you're never going to win. It's impossible. And Shepard wins first try. And he's like, okay, well, you don't need to be doing that. That's cruel. Takes the toy, walks up to a full adult woman, and then gives her this toy in an act that I think is very fun that he keeps calling it. He's like, no, it's just a little baby girl that I'm trying to help. And then goes and gives it to an adult woman and tries to flirt with her. And it's like, all right, you fucking loser. I then meet Jack. Love Jack's little game. Jack is in the arcade, the arena is in the big arena, and is like, I want to blow off some steam and kill a bunch of people. And then you and Jack flirt hard whilst you're both fighting these Cerberus like images together. And I'm like, oh, these two need to kiss now. I need Shepard and Jack to real hard make out. Then I did Garrus, and Garrus as the best friend is very fun because you wingman him. You meet at the bar, you have a couple drinks, and then a female Turian is like kind of looking at Garrus, and then Shepard steals a drink from someone else's table, hands it to Garrus, and then is like coaching him through talking to women. Which I think is very cute. And then Garrus and this random female Turian hook up after you have drinks together. I think it's very cute and fun. You and Jacob meet because Jacob is tutoring a bunch of kids on his shore leave. And then both of you play video games together because he's like, oh, I kind of want to show off that I know, like, Commander Shepard, can we play games? And you're like, yeah. And then you play games and I beat his ass at the games. And then Jacob is upset by that. Edie, you meet in your apartment, and Edie is trying to buy a gift for Joker using Joker's credit card because she's like, I don't exist. Because you're like, aren't you paid? Don't you have your own money? She's like, I'm an AI. I don't exist. I can't qualify for jobs. No, I don't get paid. Why do you think I have money? But she's using Joker's card and was like, I want to buy Joker a gift. She was like, I was thinking this brand new sports car.
Luxury, and you're like, sports car.
Yeah. You're like, let's not bankrupt him with his own credit card. She's like, oh, okay. Maybe I won't do that then.
So she gets him a weekend rental.
A weekend rental of this luxury sports car.
So he can fly it around.
Yeah, which I think is very cute. Joker's story, which is so good. is Joker is trying to get free drinks at a bar, and the bartender is like, Joker's trying to get free drinks by saying, oh, I was there when Cerberus attacked the Citadel. And she's like, no, you weren't. Commander Shepard was, though. But I didn't see you anywhere because I was also on the Citadel when Cerberus attacked. And then Joker has this whole story, which is entirely voiced by Seth Green, where he voices both the Cerberus agents that are against Joker and Joker himself, where Joker hijacks a mech and starts shooting all the Cerberus people. And all the Cerberus people are like, oh my God, it's Joker. I can't believe we didn't. We underestimated him because of his disabilities. Ah! And it's very funny.
Yeah. It's really good.
Joker also says it's joking time it wasn't a reference at the time. It was just a stupid little joke. But nowadays, I can't stop thinking about Jared Leto's It's Morbin Time from Morbius.
Oh, my God.
Liara. Oh, my God. Liara plays the piano because she.
Oh, this is cute.
Because she works 100% of the time, all the time, and she knows one song on the piano from one time when they were trapped in a Prothean dig site together with this one person, and then this one person taught them how to play piano to, like, calm themselves. And it is sad to my Shepherd because they talk so stiltedly like they're just friends, and yet they were dating for several years. And broke up only because the end of the world is happening, the end of the galaxy is happening, and then Shiv finds it too serious. And I found it really sad. You then have my favorite, which is Miranda's. Miranda has two. Miranda, she comes up to your apartment and you shoot the shit about the clone. You shoot the shit about everything that's been happening. It's really charming. Miranda is great in this bit. She looks at the sushi restaurant and she's like, ah, that sushi restaurant's closed down. I loved that place. That's just a shame. And you're like, yeah, it kind of broke because I kind of fell through the aquarium and I kind of blew up the restaurant. And she's like, oh, cool. So is this just kind of what you do all the time? And you're like, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
And then later she invites you to go to the casino together and just be girly girls. Fucks like crazy. So cute. So cute and fun.
So cute.
You have drinks and you keep talking about being aggressive and hardened and killing people. And you're like, man, it's hard to be a girly girl. We're bad at this.
Yeah.
And it's really fun. I like that a lot. Kolyat invites you to do a eulogy of his father, Thane, which is pretty sad. Everyone turns up and they give a big eulogy to Thane, which I thought was cute. And I must be missing someone. I know I'm missing Tally. I'm deeply upset by the... Go on.
Kaden comes up and cooks a meal for you while you drink beers and you shoot the shit. Really
cool.
Fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
I tried to hook up with Samara really, really bad. I invited Samara up and you kind of talk about...
That's right. Samara comes up. Yeah.
You talk about just things. And every single time I had the chance to flirt, I would. Shep was really trying to sleep with this woman. It was not happening. Even though Samara, again, even though she rejected me from Mass Effect 2, was once again very kind at the fact that she was rejecting me. And I was like, damn, that does it more for me. You should start. Less kind about rejecting me.
Yeah.
I didn't have Tally, as I said, which I'm gutted about. Didn't have Vega either, which I'm also kind of sad about.
Oh, Vega's. I don't remember what Vega's meeting was, actually. He comes up. I know he comes up to your apartment. And you guys, have a little bit of a heart-to-heart. And then I think he, tells you some more about his backstory. It's just more chatting.
Sure.
But there wasn't really an event. I don't think.
Okay. Sure.
And mine with Garrus was a little different because we're
dating. Of course it would be. Yeah. What was yours?
But very funny. That female Turian is still a minor part of it.
Whoa.
Because we go out on a proper first date, and We go out for drinks, and the female Turian, literally, I would not have thought about it at all if you hadn't told me your version first. But there's this blink and miss it where this female Turian is about to approach him, but then sees us flirting and like dips the other way.
No way. Oh, that's fun.
But Garrus and Shepard are pretending they are meeting for the first time and having like really sexy, like, I'm gonna pick you up from this bar banter.
Oh,
and it's hot. It's very hot. It works.
That fucks, actually. That goes crazy.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good shit.
That's good. That's hot. You just have a lot of conversations with a lot of your party, and it's the best. It's the best. It's truly. It's just a bunch of tiny minor conversations, and I love it so deeply. Also had a meeting with Jarvik. Can't remember what that is though. I can't remember what the Jarvik one is.
Yeah, I also can't remember.
I can remember. It's you film Blasto. You film Blasto 7.
Oh my god, it's how the coolest did I forget shit this? Yes, it's so stupid.
It's
there
so stupid.
There are people trying to make like a film and they're trying to like include Shepard in it in like a gimmicky propagandized way. And they invite Jarvik and they're like filming this kitschy, stupid sci-fi thing with a Hanar as the lead.
It's Blasto. And that's Blasto, baby.
Blasto. And the Hanar has like a little bit of a head about it and is like, I don't double bill. in reference to Shepard. Deeply funny.
Deeply funny. There's a Vorcha as one of the lead actors. It's really cool seeing the weirder races just kind of being people. Just living lives. That's why I really liked in this bit. There's a Vorcha who's a Vorcha actor. There's a Salarian, but there's 100 million Salarians doing normal human things. This Hannah. And then you film this, and then as you're leaving, they're like, that's a wrap on Blasto 7. So Blasto 8 is what we're going to be doing next. Blasto 8, Blasto Cures the Genophage is the name of the movie.
Yes, Blasto.
It's so fucking stupid. It's so stupid. I love it so much.
There's a lot of banter about Elcor Hamlet also around the casino. And I passed by an actor who was in Elcor Hamlet, and he goes, now that Elcor Hamlet is done, and it was genuine inquiry, now that Elcor Hamlet is done, I am available for work. Please let me know if you hear about any opportunities. It's like, man.
It's my favorite running joke throughout the whole franchise.
Oh my God, so good.
It's so funny. And then when you go speak to everyone, you can then decide to start the party. The party's some of the best video games have ever been, I think.
The party is great.
Yeah, it's so good. You start by what type of party are you having? Are you having a loud, raucous party? Are you having a quiet chat?
Liff puts on a bow tie.
He puts on a little bow tie and it's very cute. It's very cute and good. What did you have?
I wanted an energetic party.
Yeah. I wanted a fucking rager. And having a rager is so fun in this. You can go around and you speak to a bunch of the different... everyone is kind of like finding their own groups and chatting. It's great. There is like a very heated conversation that Vega... I think it's Vega, Liara, and Caden. Miranda.
It would be Miranda for you, but Caden for me about biotics versus humans.
Yeah. It's cool. And then you can choose on who to side with. And it's fun because I'm a biotic and I chose biotics, obviously, as being more powerful. Shepard is like, look at who you're talking to. I'm a biotic. We're just better than you. It's like, this shit's so fun. I just love the bunch of tiny interactions that you're having at this party. Also, Kazumi is here for me as well.
Oh, wow.
the very fun thing about Kazumi being here is that she's invisible for the entire party, and she just randomly spawns in during conversations, says a one-line little quip thing, and then disappears again. And every time, and then eventually Shepard starts being like, you have to stop jumping me like this. You have to stop interrupting and scaring me. I'm never like aware of you being here. You have to stop it. And she's like, I'm just having fun, Shepard. And then disappears. And then you find Kazumi like in your room, like rummaging through your clothes. And then you have a conversation with her about joining the party. And she's like, why? This is the most fun bit. And then disappears again. And you're like, Kazumi. It's very fun. It's
very cute. So cute.
You have, there is a conversation between, this is the one time for me that Grunt is speaking to anyone else. You have Grunt, Rex, and I think Zaid talking with each other, and Grunt and Rex start headbutting each other really hard because both of them are trying to figure out who's the strongest between the two of them, the leader of the Krogans or this like perfect bred Krogan. And you can side with one of them. And I was like, it's Rex, babe. It's Rex. I'm sorry. Rex is far stronger. And then they start headbutting each other and Shepard has to be like, okay, let's calm down. I'm not paying for all the furniture that the pair of you are going to destroy in trying to kill each other. And then when you speak to everyone, you get to go back to, there's a great thing where Miranda and Jack are talking with each other. And you can either support Miranda, which is supporting the fact that those two should be friends, or you can support Jack with the fact that they're going to be enemies. But if you support Miranda, which is what I did, and being friends, Shepard is like, you two want to fuck so bad, it's making everyone uncomfortable. You two should just make out and just get it over with, because it's so clear the sexual tension between the pair of you. And then Jack gets really embarrassed and Miranda is having a great time with it. It's just very good. It's like, it's very explicit that those two are like heavily romantically interested in each other, but are both too aggressive to talk about it. Specifically, Shepard says like, you're two beautiful women. You're both very comfortable in your own sexualities. You two should just make out and get it just like over and done with. I was like, love this stuff. It's great. But then after you talk to everyone once, you get the opportunity to quiet the party down and have everyone talk, or up it and get it a little more.
Oh, rager. We turned up
the rager. Oh, we're
having
a full rager. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you go for a rager a second time, when you're going around speaking to everyone, you can then go into your shower and you see Grunt passed out, shower just on him. And he's like, I'm so sorry, Shepard, I got so drunk. And it's like, we have been here for an hour, my guy. And he's so perfectly framed in this DLC. He's a teenager. He's a teenager that just goes too fast, too quickly. I love him so much.
Rex is also turning people away at your door who have found out that Shepard lives here and is having a party and are trying to get in, which is very fun.
It's so funny. and it's there's like a conversation between Jarvik and a few other people about best war tactics, and you have to go over and be like, let's not talk shop at the party, let's talk about something else. Which is fun. It's great. And then later on, and then after you talk to everyone again, it's okay, what are we doing? Are we quieting down? Are we upping the rager? And I'm like, we're upping the rager, baby. We're going all night. And then everyone is even more drunk. Tally is completely blitzed. You dance with everyone in the kitchen, which is a lot of fun.
And they're weird about Shepard dancing.
Oh, they're all making fun of you dancing.
So Shepard joins in, and everybody's making fun of Shepard. And Garrus goes, hey, that's my girl. Oh, who am I kidding? She looks terrible. So stupid.
Jack for me at this point is like dancing on the table.
I'll tell you what, Samantha Trainor has the best dance animation of anybody at this party.
Oh, fascinating.
She's dancing her ass off.
It fucks. I dance with everyone. I convinced Joker to dance with Edie because Edie really wants to dance, but Joker is like, I'm going to break all my bones if I dance. And you're like, Joker, stop being a loser. Go dance with Edie. And then the pair of them dance together. It's very cute. And then after I ask for the third time, yeah, let's keep this party going. It then cuts to the next day. I have an interesting thing that happened to me, Dylan. Cuts to black, fades to black, fades up again. It's the next day. I wake up in bed with someone. I wake up in bed having recently had sex with the Prothean, Jarvik. Jarvik says, wow, it turns out that this cycle definitely knows how to do that better than ours. And then you're like, yeah, we're never talking about this again. He said, agreed. You both stumble out of the bedroom. So
that's so funny.
So my lesbian Siobhan Shepherd had sex with the Prothean Jarvik, which I think is very funny.
Hilarious. Oh, yeah, I love that.
Very good. And then everyone is so hungover.
Joker's passed out at the bar, head Vegas, on his hands.
Vegas making eggs, which I think is really cute. It's a really cute bit of him. Edie's obviously fine because she's a robot. Tally said that she's been through like five toxin filters, and it's still not enough. She still feels like she's gonna die. Grunt is still in the shower, and he's like, I'm sorry, I fixed the shower, I broke it earlier. And it's like, I know, baby, it's okay. I know, my son, my beautiful boy. Yeah, Rex is like, damn, people really know how to party. I love this crew. And then you all go back to the Normandy. And as you walk back to the Normandy, Gareth brings up, how are we supposed to go back to work? I feel like I'm going to die. And you're like, yeah, I'm also very, very hungover.
Yeah. You're like, take some aspirin.
Yeah. Take some aspirin. Come on. It's back to war. And then it closes out, shore leave. I'm going to say a second controversial statement. I think it's the best DLC that we've done on the show so far.
I agree.
I think the Citadel is just
best
so good.
DLC on the show so far.
Now, here's the thing.
Okay.
Trespasser Awakening, they're expansions.
So then
what do we have?
Okay,
Origins. We've got the castle that I really liked. The castle. Return to Ostagar, which is also very good. We have a third.
Witch Hunt?
Witch Hunt, thank you. Dragon Age 2, Felicia Day's big day out.
Yeah.
Not very good, let's be real.
No, not very good. funny because it's Felicia Day's big day out.
Felicia Day's big day out. I'm not counting Sebastian Vale because I think adding a character is not a valid DLC because if you're going to say that it is, then it's like, okay, we're comparing Sebastian Vale, who I do think is the most important character in Dragon Age 2, join our Patreon, I have a whole argument about it. And then you're comparing Jarvik, literally the most important character in the entire series. Unfortunately, Sebastian Vale does not hold a candle to how important Jarvik is.
I agree. Yeah.
So we're not counting those because those are character DLCs, which is a different thing to a story-based DLC. And then Dragon Age 2 doesn't have anything else outside of that, right? Am I wrong?
Right.
It just has the two. Then Dragon Age 3 has... Dragon Age Inquisition, rather, has... The Descent,
which is bad.
It then has the one with the original Inquisitor, or the last Inquisitor.
Which is great.
Which is very, very good.
And Trespasser.
Which is an expansion. Mass Effect 1. Holy shit. There you go. Can't even remember what it is, so can't be that good. Mass Effect 2 has the Shadowbroker DLC. Almost perfect.
Which is excellent.
There's two character DLCs, and I don't think much else. Oh my god, I should really be looking this up. Then Mass Effect 3 has Leviathan, fucking amazing. Omega, really good. And then it has the Citadel. I think the Citadel is the best of all of the DLCs.
Citadel is the best in the Mass Effect franchise for certain. I think the Dragon Age one with the original Inquisitor is my favorite.
Sure.
Dragon Age DLC.
Sure.
And if Trespasser doesn't count, then maybe I would give it to Shore Leave. if Trespasser doesn't count. It's close, but I think I would give it.
Okay, so Dragon Age 1 also has the Stone Prisoner, which we are not counting because it is a character DLC. So again, we're not counting that. I'm infuriated. What does Dragon Age 2 have? Dragon Age 2 must have. Okay, so Dragon Age 2, the Black Emporium, Mark of the Assassin. Oh, it literally does. It has the Black Emporium, Mark of the Assassin, the Exiled Prince. Exiled Prince is outstanding because it adds Sebastian, but it's not a...
We're not counting it.
We're not counting it. And then 3 is... Oh my God. Apparently it doesn't count. One sec. Oh, it's because I'm on the Dragon Age 2 wiki. Stupid idiot, dumbass. Okay, well, regardless. Oh, no, here we go. Dragon Age 2. Sorry, I just needed to find this. It has Jaws of Hakon. This is the Jaws of Hakon is what it's called.
That's the one that's
Trespasser,
my favorite,
Descent. Jaws of Hakon is good. Something happened to me where I couldn't do Jaws of Hakon in its full degree, I think, and I didn't connect with it.
No, Trespasser you couldn't do.
It was only Trespasser.
Save file with the Steam Deck. It was
That's
right
true.
When you started Trespasser, your Steam Deck
it was literally right at the end of it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, gutting.
Devastating.
Truly devastating. I will I don't think I'll ever get over it. And then we've got, I want to know what the Mass Effect 1 DLCs are. I feel like I'm losing my mind. I can't remember it at all. I'm sure that there's something. Sure that there's something.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It matters not.
It Jaws of Hakon and Shore Leave are both amazing. And I think if we don't count Trespasser, I think Shore Leave does take it.
Yeah.
From what I hear.
Oh, no. Shore Leave. Go on.
What I've heard from Vidi Valetti is that this DLC, Shore Leave, came out because of how unhappy fans were with the end of Mass Effect 3. And that this was kind of given as a true, you know, fan service of a DLC, which is great. And I kind of do feel that Trespasser was another the instance of that, where like the end of Inquisition, the original end of Inquisition is deeply unsatisfying and like
it's deeply bad.
It's a deeply anticlimactic final battle, and the end is anticlimactic, and it just doesn't feel. It feels flat and dry, and like unlike 2 and Origins, your ending really feels impactful and like your character's end matters. And Dragon Age Inquisition did not really feel that way with the original ending. And so then when Trespasser came out and not only had this like well-written lore drops that really were missing from the ending, compelling and interesting villains that matter to the world and to your story, and multiple rounds of interactions with your friends that you have been with this whole time. So like not just one, you know, couple lines of dialogue in a party
like
and
full,
then you're done.
It's multiple years later and everyone has grown. Yeah.
Yeah, and you get to go and interact with them multiple times throughout the course of the DLC, just like Shore Leave, where it's not just, hey, say hello to everybody at this party. There are multiple rounds of that. So it does feel like I am imagining that, you know, when people were disappointed with Inquisition's end and with Mass Effect 3's end, which I've heard, to then get them to do something that really let the writers have fun with the characters and to give interesting lore and to give you time with your squad mates and stuff like that. It's just a really cool, thing.
It is. And it's great. And so this, I, you know, saying that this is what the fans have wanted, I've said several times whilst we've been doing Mass Effect that this is my most anticipated DLC ever, because I was never able to get it when Mass Effect 3 first came out, and I haven't returned to the franchise since I originally beat Mass Effect 3 like 10 times in a row. I have been waiting to play this for on a decade now, and it is genuinely, it's like superseded expectations in a crazy way. I thought it would be fun. I thought going into it, oh, it's like a beach episode, we're just gonna have a party. And then I was like, wait, there's a cool story with it, with fun quips and good bits, and then there's all this other stuff afterward. It's amazing. So good. It's so good.
There's so much. Oh my god, when you wake up after the party, there is a comm message that has been left on your floor from Morden Solis.
Yeah.
Recorded before he died.
Because he knew he was going to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, I have a bad feeling about this, and I want to make sure that you have some entertainment.
And then so he sings left a bunch
some,
of
like,
songs.
Solarian. Yep. Yep.
That's my guy.
Oh my god. Fuck off. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It was a great DLC.
No, it's really good. Also, this is minor, but there is also a bunch of messages from Thane that Thane sent to you, because he also died and knew he was going to die. They are, in my opinion, slightly more heartbreaking.
Robin,
because
you have completely gone out for me, so hold on.
Okay. Now we'll wait.
Okay. Now I hear you again. Okay. Can you start over with whatever you were about to say?
Yes. Slightly more heartbreaking for me, even though it's definitely very sad, is that you also get a bunch of pre-recorded messages from Thane. And the reason why they are slightly more heartbreaking for me, because Kolyat gives you all of Thane's messages that he's been sending you. The reason why I find those really sad is because Thane starts and is like, hey, so I had to run away because I have to look after my son. Thank you so much for being there, blah, blah, blah. Hope to hear from you soon. Message two starts with, I didn't get a response from you, so I think that I keep getting grabbed from the Citadel. Like you know, they keep stopping me because of my name and then I'm assassin. Anyway, this is an update from me. Hope to hear from you soon. Message three, I'm trying to send these under a different name because you're still not responding to me. And it's like, oh, because you were grounded for 6 months, and those were the 6 months of Thane's like final days.
Oh my god.
Kept sending you messages and you weren't responding to any of them, and he just kept sending you messages anyway till he died. Deeply sad. I felt horrendous. Because I also didn't see him when he was on his deathbed, because you have to go see him before Cerberus attacks the Citadel. Anyway, it's great.
Oh my god.
Really sad.
It's so good.
It's really good. I love this DLC so, so deeply. And it gives you so much.
It was just a great time.
I was having such a blast with the whole thing. And now we're going on to where. So, next week, we are doing as much or as little as we want, wrapping up the game. Because post this, we are going into the finale. So, we're going into the finale in 2 weeks. We are trying to do as much as possible, all of the side quests. We're going to finish off all of these little hunts. If you want to do some of the DLC add-ons, we're going to be doing some of those, like the DLC things. Like if you wanted to do the arena, you can go through and do all the arena. Okay. Do you know what I just found out?
All right. What?
What I just found out on a brief little Google whilst you were away. Maya Brooks is in not one, not two, but 13 Mass Effect comics where she is the lead character. Isn't that crazy? Maya Brooks is in a lot of extra material where it is her and Kai Lang being Cerberus employees.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Crazy. Anyway, so next week it's clean up as much as we can or want to. It turns out, I don't know if I've said this on the show, turns out we actually can't do Mass Effect multiplayer because it doesn't exist on the Legendary Edition. However, comma, we may try and download it, download Mass Effect, just basic Mass Effect 3 and give it a go together. So we're going to try to do that. And then we're going to do a lot of predictions because we are going into the finale, the end of Mass Effect 3 the week after, and then onto a new game.
Oh my God, it's going to be a great time. It's going to be so good. I'm
very
so excited
for it. Yeah, very excited for it. It's wild. So we can not do this. My idea for the quote is, I never thought I'd say this, but I'm looking forward to killing myself, which I think is just very funny.
I think it's really funny.
So I think what we should do is one of us say, I never thought I'd say this, but, and the other one say, I'm looking forward to killing myself.
Agreed.
Which one? Agreed. Which one do you want the first one to be? Do you want to do the first part or the second part?
I mean, I kind of want the second part.
I thought you might. No. Okay. Hey, gang. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. Long episode because this DLC is so fucking peak and has so much stuff to talk about. And straight up, we didn't talk about a huge amount of this DLC.
I know. There's so much still also.
It's the most charming that Mass Effect has ever been. It's so charming. I really, like, I'm not joking when I say that I think Mass Effect thrives when it's on rails and it is way more hemmed in rather than being big and open. This is the Dragon Age DLC where everything feels like Dragon Age, and I know that sounds redundant or reductive if you're only listening for Mass Effect and haven't played the Dragon Age franchise. If you like this DLC, you are gonna go absolutely cuckoo bananas over Dragon Age.
Jesus.
But anyway, thank you, gang. I'm excited to see you all again for the penultimate episode of our Mass Effect run-through. But until next time, never thought I'd say this, but...
I'm actually really looking forward to killing myself.
Fuck yeah.